You're listening to the Sprues and Brews podcast, your weekly podcast looking at all things Warhammer.
Hello and welcome to episode 90 of the Sprues and Brews podcast. That is right, the countdown is on. Episode 100 is a mere 10 episodes away, which is awesome. My name is David. I'm joined once again by Matt.
Hello.
And Jay.
Hello.
How are you guys?
Yeah, not too bad. It's we're getting towards the weekend again.
Yeah. It's one good thing about the podcast is you know the weekend's only around the corner.
This is true. This is definitely true.
Which is ace. And we've got quite a fun podcast lined up, actually, because we've got a very popular top three. Isn't that right, Matt?
Crazy popular top three this week.
So we're going to be looking at... Well, you explain it better than I do, Matt.
So, yeah, we're looking at your... Obviously, we've got the 9th edition of 40K coming out with some awesome new models to be revealed in the box set. We want to know your top three 40K models that you want to get reimagined in the new edition.
So we're going to start with our top threes, and then later on, towards the end of the podcast, we'll read out all the as many community picks as we can before the end of the show. We're also going to be delving a little bit into Engine Ward, the latest Psychic Awakening book for Warhammer 40K. I've had that for a week now, and it is really cool, especially if you're a fan of the Adeptus Mechanicus. And we've, of course, got all the latest news and so on as well. But before we get stuck into all that, we'll talk about what we've been doing in the hobby for the past 7 days. I'm going to start off this week because I have a bit of a confession to make, and that is I have painted nothing this week. Absolutely nothing.
Can we mute him? How do we mute him? Let's mute him for the rest of the podcast.
Unless spraying a model is, one singular model, it counts as painting. That's all I've done.
I'm not angry, I'm just disappointed.
But I have done hobby content. So with Engine War coming out, I have written a review for that, which is on the website, which I'll put the link in the description for. I have built and sprayed the Archaeopter. I decided to go for the Bomber variant in the end, which is really cool. And I have built one singular Cerberus Raider, as well as filming a load of unboxing videos. So I have been hobbying, just not painting, unfortunately.
We'll let you off. We'll let you off this week.
So, get a warning.
So hopefully by next Thursday, when we're recording again, I'll have painted an Archaeopter. That's the goal. I hope that'll be done. And I'll have built all the rest of my stuff as well. So, yeah. Jay, what have you been doing in the hobby this week?
More Ultramarines for me. So I have finished my unit of Hellblasters. I have painted up the Impulsor. I'm trying to think what the name. I was going to call that Rhino then for a second. The floating Rhino, a Space Marine Impulsor. I finished that off this morning. Just needed to do the base, so that's been done. And I've started working on some. Well, I've got a couple of things on the desk at the moment. I've got a Chief Librarian. Is it Tigerius?
Tigerius, yeah.
The Chief Librarian. He's been built and base coated, ready to start painting. I've got a box of the Infiltrators that I just want to build 5 of them up for now and paint 5 of them. I'm not sure whether I want to use the Infiltrators or the Incursors. I think they're both troops choices, to round out my troops then. So I've got 15 Intercessors and 5 either Infiltrators or Incursors. I might build 5 of each, actually, thinking about it. Get 10 in the box. And I've started painting up some Honor Guard for my characters, some of the Victrix Honor Guard. These are only 2 models, so they shouldn't take too long to paint up, I don't think.
They're like the precursors for the Blade Veterans, aren't they?
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, the models are really cool because these were like some of the first sort of close combat armed Primaris Marines you could get at the time. But yeah, I have a feeling they're going to pale in comparison to the Blade Veterans myself. Although they do have a cool rule where they can, currently they have a cool rule where they can intercept wounds for nearby characters. So that they are pretty handy still, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, your Ultramarines looking ace. You're on a proper mission with those.
Yeah, well, the plan is to get as much of it painted as I can before ninth edition hits, obviously. So, the only thing, like I say, left on my painting plan is the infiltrators and cursors, the librarian, and this honor guard unit. So, and then I'll sit tight then, waiting for ninth. Who knows? I might get lucky, and the elves might come out before ninth, and I can start painting some elves while I wait for the more space marines. Well, I don't know. We'll see.
Nice little palette cleanser in the middle of space marines if that happens, isn't it?
Yeah.
Excellent. Matt, what have you been up to?
So I've done some painting this week, Dave. I finished painting my Immolator. That was fun.
So
I think I'd nearly done it, hadn't I, last week, and just about finished it off. And I'm really happy with the stained glass now. I think last time we spoke, I was a bit like, oh, is this going to work or not? But yeah, it turned out all right in the end. Still wouldn't be top of my list of ones to paint again, but in 9th edition, I've got a feeling they're going to be really, really good with all those flamers.
Who takes stained glass windows to a battle? I mean, any battle, let alone a battle in the 41st millennium. Those sisters are crazy.
You know what the insurance policy on that's going to be like. I've done the Immolator. That was really, really fun. And then I decided to take a bit of a break from Warhammer. And I've been painting some models for the Elder Scrolls Call to Arms, which is a new miniatures game. It's skirmish based, and it's quite interesting that you have, as well as your standard, you know, two-player battle game, there's also a single player, I guess it's essentially a dungeon crawl with a AI mechanic that controls where the monsters are. You have a really small force, so I played through the first two scenarios, and I was using just the Dragonborn, the lead character out of Skyrim, and that was my army, and then various undead draugr skeletons, all that kind of stuff, inhabiting these dungeons that I was crawling. It was really, really fun. So I've painted up the Dragonborn. I've painted the invisible Dragonborn, so I painted a base and stuck an invisible guy in it. And then I painted the Delve set, so that kind of has all your adversaries in it, and they're really, really nice sculpts. They come in either resin or plastic. I got the resin versions just because I think the detail's a bit sharper and they're nicer to paint up. And yeah, so they're really good. And then just today, before the podcast, I've started on the Imperials, which just leaves me with the Stormcloak Rebellion fellas to do. And then that's the full first wave. So yeah, it's something different to paint. Really, really nice.
They look really cool. I like the Dragonborn especially. He looks amazing.
Yeah, I mean, the Elder Scrolls series is one of my favourite games. So yeah. I had to paint some of these models just for fun, really. But I think once I've done them, which I should have done by the weekend, it's back on finishing the Sisters of Battle, ready for 9th edition.
What's left on the Sisters?
I have got two Penitent Engines and some Seraphim, and then that's them all done. Oh, and the scenery piece, but that'll take 5 minutes with the airbrush. That should be fairly quick, hopefully.
Excellent. Well, I think that brings us to a close on this beginning part of this week's podcast. We've got plenty of content to get through, though, so we're going to take a slight pause and then come back with the news. Do we have any news to speak of this week, Matt?
We do indeed. So on Saturday, we have up for pre-order Blackstone Fortress Deadly Alliance. This is an expansion to Blackstone Fortress that features Azote, and I'm fairly sure I've done this section a couple of months ago, but it's finally out now, so it's fine. This is €50. I haven't got the UK price, but I think that's approximately about 35 quid the Blackstone expansions are. And you can use the Azote in your games of 40k, and he looks really cool, doesn't he? I think a lot of people might pick this up just to paint up Azote.
Absolutely.
It's one of those obscure aliens that people have been shouting out for, isn't it? He's unaligned, yes, so you can take him in any army, which is pretty cool. We've also got Psychic Awakening War of the Spider for €32.50. This features the Custodes, the Sisters of Silence, Assassins, Death Guard, and a new faction, the Creations of Bile. So this seems quite a jam-packed Psychic Awakening book that I think will be in a lot of people's collections here. The Death Guard get essentially Legion rules for different builds of Death Guard. The Assassins, I think, get their updated rules that were previously in White Dwarf. Custodes and Sisters of Silence get lots of new stratagems and abilities, and you can finally take Sisters of Silence in your Custodes army, which is really cool. Gives you a bit of psychic defense there. And yeah, we get a new faction, the Creations of Bile. So these are the genetically modified Space Marine experiments from Fabius Bile himself. He has to be the general. And yeah, you get to tinker with all your guys. I think they get extra strength and extra movement. And yeah, I think this is very much a converter's dream, because you'll be able to make all these weird constructions that Fabius has put together. And alongside that, we have got the model for Fabius Bile as well, who is also 32 euros 50, which I think is about 25 quid. It'd be the same as Codex price. So yeah, and the model looks really nice. It's a refinement of the old one. It's nothing completely different. They've kept with what worked and kind of brought it into the modern era, haven't they?
Yeah. He's pretty. He looks pretty big, actually, when I saw him next to a normal Chaos Space Marine.
I'm sure he's had all the best cuts of organs and genetic material to buff himself. I think from a lore point of view, this book might be interesting as well, because Fabius has stolen something from the Death Guard, and he's trying to capture custodians in order to do experiments on them. So who knows what he's up to? Can't be good, whatever it is.
No. Well, it's got the assassins on the case, so, you know.
This is it. Well, you don't mess around with custodians and expect it to go well, do you? With the Death Guard breathing down your neck at the same time. So I don't know if there's going to be an unusual alliance there.
Custodians allied with Death Guards. Interesting.
So, yeah. And then we've also, on Saturday, we have got the unboxing of the Warhammer 40,000 9th Edition starter set. I think images of what's inside this has leaked a while ago, but it'll be good to see the official unboxing and see what we get in the box. We know that we're getting assault interceptors. We know there's going to be bikes. We know there's Necrons. So, yeah, we'll have all the full details of that. And I'm sure we might put together a little post as it happens on the website as well.
Absolutely.
Are you guys looking forward to seeing, like, the official reveal of what's in this box?
Yeah, like I say, I think we've seen images. I think there was a post on Warhammer Community today where they had a battlefield and you could see a couple of new units on there that we've not had official photos of yet. So it'd be good to see those close up, definitely.
Yeah, and they always have the nice high-res, fully detailed shots on Warcom as well. So I really want to see what that big Necron Walker is, because it looks amazing. So yeah, so that is on Saturday at 2 o'clock on the Warhammer TV Twitch channel. As we had last week, Games Workshop has been revealing quite a few rules and things about the new edition. Not going to go into the detail that we had last week, because I think it was bigger news then, but I've got some bullet points of some cool stuff that we learned. So where tanks and monsters can now fire in combat at -1 to hit at the target they're fighting, which is really, really cool. I really like the fact that it means your monster, your Tyranid warrior with a gun, can now go daka 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 into the combat he's fighting in. Makes sense from kind of a lore point of view, and it's really good from a game point of view as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
What's interesting with this, if you've got multiple weapons, you can elect to target a unit that's outside of that combat. However, if you haven't killed the unit you're fighting by the time you get round to that gun, you cannot fire it.
So that makes sense, doesn't it?
It's really good, yeah. So if you've got Flamer Sponsons, you can allocate them at the unit that's in front of you and your battle cannon off at something in the distance and hope that you kill the unit with your Flamers. Which is really good. I hope that this rule of allocating targets, and if you can't choose it, you don't get to, will also apply to characters as well. Because sometimes there's a few silly situations where your unit could potentially kill a squad in front of a character, and you could have maybe allocated some shots at the character if they could get to it. I think that'd be a nice change. Obviously, they haven't confirmed that, but just from the way that the vehicle shooting works, it implies that it might work the same way there as well, which would be really cool. Blast weapons have changed a little bit. So there's going to be a big table of all weapons with the blast keyword in the back of the book. If you fire a blast weapon at a squad of 6 or more models, you always do at least 3 hits. And if you fire a blast weapon at a unit with 11 or more models, you always do at least 6 hits. So that's really good. That was one of your niggles with the last edition, wasn't it, Jay? The kind of random shot weapons?
Yeah, I was going to say the plasma cannons and heavy plasma cannons, I just felt they used to be really, really cool, but just a random number of shots now, you think, well, is it worth taking the plasma cannon over something else? Do you think this will apply to flamers as well? Will they be classed as blast weapons?
They said just blast weapons, so okay. I don't think it's going to apply to flamers.
I suppose flamers have the advantage that they auto hit, don't they? So yeah, there's that trade off there. Yeah.
But yeah, and there might be some blast flame weapons. I don't know. Obviously, there's going to be a full chart in the back of the book. I think if flamers auto hit and got maximum hits, then I think that'd be a bit over the top. But yeah. It means that your plasma cannons, you've now got an interesting choice. Do you fire it at a vehicle, hoping to do a load of damage, or do you maybe fire it at that squad of custodies because you're going to get some guaranteed hits and hopefully kill a few of them, which has never really been a choice you've had to make before because it wasn't worth gambling the multiple hits on a squad?
No. Well, what's really made me excited about this rule is the Redemptor Dreadnought with the heavy plasma cannon. You know, I love that model, but I decided not to build it with a plasma cannon because, you know, you might just roll a one and get one shot with it.
Yeah.
Whereas now, you can see that thing just wading into a pile of Tyranny Gaunts, blasting them all apart with his heavy plasma cannon. That'd be really so cool. And then he gets into combat, and with him being a vehicle, he can still fire some of his weapons in combat as well.
Yeah, no, it's really cool. Also, they've changed the -1 to hit for heavy weapons if you move. That now only applies to infantry.
That's massive.
So your flyers, your tanks, your monsters, they can all merrily drive around while shooting, which has always been a big problem. It means a lot of tanks are like hitting on a 4 base if they move, some of them 5 for the Imperial Guard.
Yeah.
It was crazy, that rule. In 9th edition, when they move away from armies, just turtling up within auras because they didn't think that was a very fun game.
Yeah.
So all the way the kind of more fluid objective system works and the way terrain works, they want your tanks to be doing what tanks should be doing, rumbling across the battlefield, shooting at things.
Man, that's going to be good for Eldar fast grav tanks now, being able to move and fire all the weapons without penalty.
It's going to be really, really good. Terrain has also changed as well. So it now falls into 4 categories. Hills, which are things that you can stand on and see over other things. Obstacles, which are things that are in the way. Area terrain, which represents your kind of like woodland and swamps and stuff. And buildings, which are player-purchased structures. So like the Sisters of Silence Shrine, Sisters of Battle Shrine that you can buy, or the some of the bunkers and stuff that you can buy, but people never tended to in the past.
Yeah.
Each of these will have different keywords that can combine to do different abilities. So some of the example ones they've put is light cover. Light cover is essentially the old terrain rules from 40K. If you're in light cover, you get +1 saving throw against ranged attacks. Doesn't affect invulnerable saves. If you're in heavy cover, you get a +1 save in melee.
Mm.
And you can combine them. So you could have something that is both light and heavy cover. The example they've used is like a bunker or something which would defend you from shooting but also make it hard for the enemy to hit you in close combat. I think it's really good that they've got that distinction because that's something that we've got in Sigmar where you still get the +1 save, don't you, in terrain in close combat.
Remember when cover, if you were in cover and you were charged, you used to have the initiative. So it's cool to see cover play like an important role in the battle again. It seems to be some of the, you know, a few more of the complexities of previous editions of 40K. The good ones are sort of creeping back into the game again, which is nice.
Well, they've mentioned some more keywords, but not kind of given the rule. The scalable, which I presume it means you can actually go up different floors on it. Breachable, so I wonder if that'll interact with grenades, where maybe if a squad with grenades runs in, you don't get the benefit of cover, which is something that we used to have back in the day. Yeah. And unstable, so maybe, you know, you can destroy buildings now and cause damage to the people inside them. Which is really cool. The other rule I've revealed is obscuring. If a terrain feature is at least 5 inches in height, then you cannot see through it. You cannot draw a line of sight through the terrain piece. If a unit's inside the terrain piece, you can shoot them, and they can shoot you. So if there's people in a building hiding behind walls, you can still shoot them because you know that they're in there, but they'll get the benefit to their save. If they're on the other side of the building, though, you can't see them. I think that's a really nice distinction.
Yeah.
Wounds, vehicles, monsters, titans really, with wounds characteristics of 18 or more that are on the other side of a building, you can see because they're so big and noisy. So you can still shoot them. Likewise, aircraft, they're in the sky, you can still shoot them. Those rules, however, do not apply to those models shooting back, because a Titan will still have a building in the way.
Right. So it makes it harder to hide these 18-plus wound models. How many wounds do the Demon Primarchs have?
Oh, don't know. Less than 18, I
12,
think.
12, I think.
No, they have more than 12. Surely. I'll find out. Carry on going.
But yeah, so that's quite a good change. I think there's going to be lots of different interactions with scenery, and in the book there's going to be lots of examples of densities and where they should be, and what a battlefield setup looks like that favours certain armies. So yeah, I think we saw a bit of that in the Age of Sigmar second edition, didn't we, with the kind of suggested deployment maps.
We did, yeah.
So yeah, really looking forward to that. So yeah, I think we're still going to get more going into next week. We might get to the point where we start getting army specific stuff maybe as well.
I'd like to see some faction specific stuff, how it all affects your faction. That'd be really cool. And answering the question, Mortarion has 18 wounds.
Interesting.
So Mortarion cannot hide behind buildings.
Why would a demon primarch want to hide behind a building?
But again, this makes sense. Giant flying demon thing, your guys are going to be shooting in that direction even if they can't totally see him.
They'll be able to smell him behind the building.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, I'm liking all these like little drops of information about 9th edition. It's just gradually building up the hype, isn't it? And with the reveal of the box out on Saturday as well, I'm really looking forward to that. That should be really cool.
Yeah. Something else that Warcom has shared today as well is there's been a bit of grumbling, let's say, on the internet about table sizes. They reiterated that these new sizes that they've put in the book are minimum sizes to allow people who maybe haven't got a big 6x4 setup to be able to play games of Warhammer. You can, of course, still use your 6x4 board. You do not need to cut it up, so you're perfectly fine with what you've got. Tournaments may adopt those new ones, but you know, I don't think it's the end of the world if you play on a slightly bigger table. I think naturally you might just deploy closer forward, because I think being in the thick of things is how it's going to work in 9th edition.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. You can't really compare it to what the games are like currently, where you think, oh, well, if the boards are smaller, there's going to be so many turn one charges and an Alpha Strike is going to be a bigger problem. But I don't know, I get the feeling that this edition's going to be a bit different. And like they've already said, the Alpha Strike is not really as important anymore. So
yeah, you could lose the game by doing all this damage turn one and then you can't complete any of your objectives.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even the example with the 18 wound monster not being able to hide, that in itself encourages you to be more aggressive with them, because you can't hold them back and hide them anymore.
Yeah, you may as well march them forward. They're going to get shot no matter where they are. Yeah.
Which again, from a cinematic point of view, Mortarion's leading from the front. He's not skulking behind the building at the back of the battlefield, is he?
No.
It's funny because we're having this conversation. One of the last battle reports I watched, Mortarion was doing exactly that. He was hiding behind a building at the back of the battlefield. Came out to play in turn three or four. So yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of this is making the armies feel like they should do in the lore, which for me is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Does that bring us to the end of the news, Matt?
That is indeed the end of the news.
Well, actually, I think there is one little bit of news which I think you should mention. And that is our very own Matt has got a post on Warcom.
I have,
I think that's newsworthy.
The guys at Warcom know I'm a fan of dragons and asked me to write about 5 of my favourite dragons. So if you head over to Warhammer Community, you can check out which they are. Spoilers, number one's Vorgrath, isn't it?
Oh, Matt, why did you spoil it? Jeez. Make sure you check that. I'll put the link to that in the description as well, so people can check that out. Awesome. That brings us to the end of the news. We have got our main segment coming up next, when we're going to delve into the engine more. The Psychic Awakening rumbles on, and the latest book in the series, Engine War, is now out. You can purchase it, which is exactly what I did. I have done a full review on spruceandbrews.com, so this isn't going to be a massive in-depth look at the book like we might have done previously. But we had to talk about it because it's so cool. especially if you're a fan of the Adeptus Mechanicus or Chaos Demons, Matt, in your case, with you being a Chaos God yourself, the amount of Chaos armies you've got. The first thing to note about this book is when I read The Greater Good, the lore was okay. It was all right. But the lore is much better in this. Like, it's much more interesting. Like, the characters it introduces are a bit more interesting, especially the tech priest who is leading the Adeptus Mechanicus at retaking this Forge world. I'm not going to throw any spoilers, but he does something a little bit controversial, which gets him in trouble with certain other Imperials in the book.
I think we've thrown a spoiler warning and then just have a little chat about that, Dave.
Yeah.
So cover your ears for the next 5 minutes or so if you want to you don't want to know about that. What's going down, Dave?
Basically, he's got basically an EMP bomb. It's like a really ancient relic that they've unearthed, and he's using it against the Chaos Demons and the Chaos Knights. But it actually does just as much damage to the Adeptus Mechanicus and the Imperial Knights. So the story ends with him being grabbed by the neck by this Baron and being dragged off, because he's really upset the Imperial Knights. I think it's your house that's gone with them. Terran? Is it Terran?
Terran are there.
Terran, yeah.
Interesting. So this is a new named character. Do we think this might be something we see in miniature form in a future Adeptus Mechanicus book, maybe?
I don't think he'd last much longer outside this book, to be honest. I mean, it doesn't say what happens to him, but I don't think so. I think he's been purely added to this book. Just trying to double check his name.
To be made Kroll. An example of.
Magos Kroll. It's his reclamation fleet that have gone to this forge world. Basically, it was once a proud forge world. It was being overrun by orcs, so they abandoned it. So the Adeptus Mechanicus thought nothing was going on this planet. And then this reclamation fleet get a signal. They go over there and find out that it's swarming with chaos. And interestingly, the forges have been reactivated by the Dark Mechanicum, who get a mention in this book. They've got to get an army at some point, haven't they?
Yeah, I think we'll be seeing the Dark Mechanicum very soon.
Yeah, I think so too. The lore's a bit better in this book than The Greater Good. I enjoyed it. It was a nice read. You've got a mission in here and stratagems to go with the mission. To be honest, it's okay, but again, like The Greater Good one, I don't think we'd play it. I think there are much better scenarios in codexes and the core rules and stuff rather than these ones in here. We then move on to the rules. So in this book, we've got the Adeptus Mechanicus, we've got the Imperial Knights, the Chaos Knights, and Chaos Demons. The bulk of it is Adeptus Mechanicus. They get a lot of love in this book. The first thing that you come across is the new data sheets. So you've got the data sheets for all the new kits that have come out with Engine War. So the Cerberus mounted units, the Raiders and the Sulphur Hounds. You've got the new Parexi Skystalkers and Sterilizers. You also have the Manipulus, who's now got an individual release. He's the new tech priest that we saw with Kill Team. And you've also got in here the data sheets for the Dune Rider and the other one that's names escaped me. The one that's not a
tank version of it.
The tank version of it. They've got their data sheets in here. I think that's a really good idea because at the moment you can only get those rules officially in the box with the product because they came out after the Adeptus Mechanicus Codex. So I think it's good that they've put that in here. So it literally means you just need this book and the Adeptus Mechanicus Codex, and you've got all your data sheets. The Disintegrator is what it's called. They're really awesome. I particularly like the sterilizers, which are the new flame bats, basically. They're jump infantry for the Adeptus Mechanicus, all armed with heavy assault flamers that do d6 attacks, strength 4, -1 AP, 1 damage. Obviously, it's a flamer, so it automatically hits. and you don't get a cover save from it either.
Yeah, they seem pretty tasty.
So I think that they're going to be really good. I can't wait to build those. You've also got the data sheets for the free flyers. So the Archaeopter can build the Transvector, which is a transport, has a capacity of 6, which is a little bit disappointing. You've got the Stratoraptor, which is your basically your gunship, which I did build mine as this because I had it in my mind, obviously, that you'd be -1 to hit when it moves. But obviously, yeah, with 9th edition coming, it's still going to be hitting on freeze at full strength. So that's really cool. And that comes armed with las cannons and heavy phosphorus blasters that we've seen on the Castellan robots. And then you've got the Fusilav, which is the variant I built, which is your flyer, which actually does mortal wounds at the end of your movement phase. So you pick a unit that you've flown over, you drop these bombs, you can roll up to a maximum of 10d6, so one dice per model you've flown over in the unit, and on a 4+, you do a mortal wound. If you fly over a vehicle or a monster, then you instead just roll 3d6 and do 4+ is a mortal wound, which is really cool. Like the Valkyries, all three variants of the Archaeopters can go into hover mode. So you've got a little bit more flexibility in your movement. Flappy mode. So you've got a bit more flexibility in the movement of your ship. All your points costs are in here. We do think that there is a slight typing error in here because it's got the heavy phosphor blasters as 0 points. Which we think is a slight oversight because that would mean the Castellan robots suddenly became a lot cheaper. And as we'll talk about in a moment, they've been buffed further in this book. So I don't think that's right. So I think that'll get FAQ'd this week probably. It's normally about a week, isn't it, when they drop an FAQ for a book?
Yeah, it's normally the week after the book comes out generally, but obviously things might be a bit slower than usual at the minute.
Yeah. The most powerful addition to the Adeptus Mechanicus is the introduction of Holy Order Warlord traits. So with your Adeptus Mechanicus army, you can choose to align yourself with one of the Holy Orders. This unlocks a new set of Warlord traits. So it's each Holy Order has a Warlord trait which has 3 different modes, as it were. So at the start of your movement phase, at the start of the turn, basically, you choose which part of that warlord trait you want to activate. Now, what's really cool with this is obviously this kind of is vying for position with the ones that are in the codex. Or if you're like me and like using Call, you're thinking, but I like Call's extra range on his reroll all hit rolls. There is a stratagem later on in this book that allows you to unlock another one of your characters to be a warlord, to get a warlord trait. So you can actually use one of these new Holy Order Warlord traits alongside Warlord traits that you're accustomed to in your Mechanicus army. The one that I'm going to focus on is the one that was leaked on Warcom, because I think it's by far the strongest, and that's the Divinations of the Magos. So it comes in 3 flavors. At the start of the turn, you can choose to activate one of these 3 modes. You can do predatory programming. When a friendly Forge World unit within 6 inches Warlord advances, roll 1 additional d6 and discard one of the dice when making the advance roll. So just basically make sure that you get a good advance on your unit. There's aggressive subroutines. You can reroll charge rolls made for friendly Forge World units whilst within 6 inches of the Warlord. That's quite cool for all your like Electro Priests and your Chicken Walkers, name of which is escaping me. But the best part of this Warlord trait is the Overloaded Safeguards. When resolving an attack mode of a ranged weapon by a friendly Forge World model within 6 inches of this Warlord, an unmodified hit roll of 6 scores 1 additional hit.
Nice.
So it basically turns your Adeptus Mechanicus in a bubble to Imperial Fists, which is amazing. Which is interesting when you were saying, Matt, about 9th edition pulling away from castling, because that's exactly what you want to do with that. you have got other ones. Fabrications of the Artisan has a good one where if you're within half range, if you're within 6 inches of your warlord and you're shooting and you're within half range of your unit you're shooting at, you get an extra 1 on your AP, which is really good. They I think are really good additions to the book. We've got two pages of stratagems. Keeping up with what they've been doing with Psychic Awakening is a lot of these are focused on units we don't see a lot of on the battlefield, for one reason or another. For example, Rust Stalkers, the Cyborg Ninjas, they look amazing, but they lose out to Infiltrators and Electro Priests. You don't really see them in games. So they've introduced a 1 CP stratagem. This 1 CP stratagem allows you to redeploy a unit of Rust Stalkers. So as long as they're within 9 inches of a table edge, this is even in the first turn, for 1 CP, they can come off the battlefield and then be redeployed more than 9 inches away from an enemy model and within 9 inches of any other board edge, which is really cool. What a lot of people have said that they might do with those is use the Rust Stalkers to maybe give you some deep strike protection, and then late on in the game, just zip them over to the other side of the battlefield, which is really cool. You also have a number of stratagems for all your new units. So you've got a seismic bomb for the Fusilav. Again, it's 1 CP. You pick an enemy unit that you have flown over, and that unit halves their move and advance and charge rolls, which is really good. But it's not applicable to fly anything with the fly keyword or the Titanic keyword. So you're not cutting an Imperial Knight's movement in half, or anything crazy like that. So again, I've just mentioned about the stratagem that allows you to pick a character and give that a warlord trait. That only costs 1 CP. So that's really cool. So I think I'll be doing that because I do like the 9-inch aura that you get with Cole's warlord trait. So I'll probably put a Holy Order one on my Tech Priest Dominus or something. You've got Forge World Dogmas, which is basically a build your own Forge World. You've got a choice of 12. You can pick two of this list. It's slightly different than other books in that you pick one of four subheadings, you get a primary trait, and then you can choose a secondary. So for example, if you were to go for the Data Forge Forge World, you get the primary one, which is Magna Bonded Alloys, which gives all your vehicles a 6+ feel no pain. So save after save. And then you get to choose one of the secondaries. So one of which adds one inch movement to your Cataphron Breachers, Destroyers, and Dune Crawlers. So that's pretty good if you've got quite a heavy Cataphron list. You've got, there's no new relics for the Adeptus Mechanicus, but you have got a new canticle. So you can choose to remove one of the normal Adeptus Mechanicus canticles and replace it with a Forge World specific one. So the Mars one, for example, allows you to move and fire. Sorry. Models and effective units do not suffer the penalty for moving and firing heavy weapons, and you also increase the strength characteristics of heavy weapons models in the affected unit by one. So we were talking about this the other day, Matt. Obviously, in 9th edition, aside from infantry, everything can move and fire heavy weapons, like vehicles and stuff.
Yep.
But this would allow you to, you know, your infantry to move and fire their heavy weapons. And I think they've had that in mind as well by also giving them an extra one strength.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't feel like, you're missing out as soon as 9th edition lands. So that's the Adeptus Mechanicus stuff. The Imperial Knights, they get some tasty new stratagems. Most of these are very selective, so they're by the model that you've got. So, for example, you've got stratagems for Knight Valiants only, for Knight Wardens. So there's a couple that are generic that you can use for any Imperial Knight keyworded model, but a lot of them are specific to certain knights. So, for example, for 1 CP, a Knight Errant model from your army, until the end of the phase, when resolving an attack made of a ranged weapon by that model, within half its range, you can reroll the wound roll, which is amazing. that's got some pretty cool stratagems in there. You've got to build your own household. So if you don't like all the pre-made houses like Tyrannus, Terrian, you can build your own. You get to choose two from a list of 14. There are some, though, that if you choose that's it, you only get one because they're quite powerful. I think they're okay. I think some of the house ones are better though than the build runes. Well, at least you've got that option if you wanted to create your own house. What is very cool for the Imperial Knights though is that they, regardless of what house you've gone, if you're Questor Mechanicus, your army gets to, or every model in your army gets to regain one lost wound. So it doesn't matter what Mechanicus Questorus house you are, every model in your army regains a lost wound at the beginning of the turn.
Cool.
If your Imperial Knights are sided with the Imperials, the Imperialis, then you add one to advance and charge rolls. But it's not, you can't stack that with any other modifiers like the Warlord trait Landstrider, which is a shame. I like that though. When you get, I mean, that's not something you choose. You just get that.
Yeah, that's cool.
Which is awesome. You've got two new charts of Warlord traits, one for Mechanicus, one for Imperialis. The Mechanicus one I quite liked was you can add two to your Warlord's wound characteristics, as if knights needed more wounds. that's really cool. Chaos Knights almost get the same treatment. They get a slight improvement on that, though. I have not got the Chaos Knight code. Have you got the Chaos Knight Codex, Matt?
Not to hand, no.
No. I think you only had a choice of two houses in the Chaos Knight Codex. So in this one, it gives you a few more. And each of these houses gives you a special rule, a warlord trait, and an artifact. So taking one, for example, you've got House Herperax. I think that's how you pronounce it. Army-wide, you get an extra two wounds on all your models, which is ace. Your warlord trait is the first time this warlord is destroyed. If it does not explode, you roll a d6, and on a 4+, it comes back with d3 wounds remaining, which is amazing. It's like, I think it does. They get an artifact called the Crown of Jafara. When resolving an attack with a melee weapon against a model with this relic, subtract one from the hit roll.
Crown of Jafar.
Jed Rafa. There's a lot of the chaos stuff that I can't pronounce.
That's probably a good job, Dave, because I think that once you find yourself being able to pronounce it, you've probably fallen. It's probably too late for you.
It's downhill from then.
You've got build your own Chaos Knight households as well, just in case you don't like any of those. Again, you can either pick two of the lesser ones or one of the major ones. And then to wrap up the book, you've got the Chaos Demons. So a lot of the data sheets have been reprinted in here, in particular for Slaanesh, but you have also got the horrors for Tzeentch, and I think it's the Blood something. Is it the Hounds? The Flesh Hounds and the Blood Crushers have got new data sheets in here. I think you said these were re-released previously, though, Matt.
Yeah, so a lot of the stuff from Wrath and Rapture replaced what was in the Demon Codex, which is a really, really old codex now. So I think all of those war scrolls that are in the Engine War book replaced the ones in the Demon Codex. There may have been another publication since, but yeah, the ones in the core codex are really old.
Cool. You've also got some new points costs for Slaanesh in here as well. I couldn't see any major changes to the data sheets, but Matt, you can probably say more on that. But what the best thing about the Chaos Demons in this book is for a single CP, you can pick one of your greater demons and make them an exalted greater demon. And that opens up some artifacts and, more importantly, some extra rules.
So now, if we take, you know, so I'll just jump in there. You can't do it on named greater demons. So Scarbrand and Shalaxy can't be turned exalted.
Yeah, that makes sense. If we take the Keeper of Secrets, for example, you can either roll 2d6 and apply the result. So, for example, on the Keeper's table, you've got on a roll of a 1, you can add 2 to the model's move characteristics. On a roll of a 2, your Keeper of Secrets gets a 4+ invulnerable save, which is awesome because I've not played with my Slaanesh yet. I haven't seen them being played in 40k, but from what I've seen online, Keepers tend to die pretty quickly because I think they've only got a 5+ invulnerable save. So having a 4+ invulnerable save is awesome. If you don't want to leave it to chance, instead of rolling 2d6, you can just pick one, but obviously you're only going to get one special rule then.
If you don't leave it to chaos, then you don't deserve to be a chaos demon player, I'm afraid.
You also unlock some artifacts for your greater demons as well. So, for example, the Keeper of Secrets you can give. Your Keeper of Secrets is Silver Strike, which is the same stat line as the sword that it's armed with, but it gives you an extra 2 attacks. And you also subtract 1 from hit rolls for attacks made by a model that has lost any wounds to this weapon.
That's very good.
Which is ace. You do also get some new Chaos Demon stratagems. They're okay. There's nothing that really stands out for me. Nurgle's got some good ones. Use this stratagem in the fight phase, like 1 Plague Bearer infantry unit from your army until the end of that phase, when resolving an attack made by that model, made by a model in that unit, an unmodified hit roll of 6 automatically scores a hit and successfully wounds a target, which is really cool. So, I mean, it doesn't matter what you're fighting against, as long as you hit it on a 6, you've wounded it, you know, knights, whatever. So that's really cool. And that's it. The only other thing to mention, which is now obvious with Crusade coming, but Games Workshop have liked putting name generator charts in all their most recent books. This keeps up that every army in this book gets a new name generator table. Obviously, they've got one eye on Crusade. People are going to want to start rolling some names for their characters. They've been included in Engine War, and I'm sure it'll continue in War of the Spider as well. But that's Engine War. I really like it, but I'm going to be very biased because I think it's really increased the power of Adeptus Mechanicus, especially with those Warlord traits.
It seems very much supplement Adeptus Mechanicus, doesn't it?
It does. That's not to say, I think Imperial Knights have come out well, and so Chaos Knights. Maybe not so much Chaos Demons. I think, like you say, Matt, maybe they need a book quite early in 9th edition. I'm really looking forward to seeing what the Adeptus Mechanicus can do with all the new rules and data sheets and stuff like that. I know you guys haven't read this yet, so I can't really ask for your opinions on the book as well. But I really like it.
Awesome.
Excellent. Well, that brings us to the end of that look at Engine War. We've still got a little bit of the podcast to go. We've got our top 3 coming up next.
It's top 3. We want to know your top 3 40k models you want to see reimagined for 9th edition. Dave, what is your number 3 choice?
So my third choice is from the Tau Empire, and I think it's a unit that would be really good in plastic. Now, you know, with all the recent releases, and that's the Vespid.
The Vespid.
I think they could look so cool in dynamic flying poses and stuff with those really cool weapons. They've kind of been, I mean, they came out in metal, didn't they? I think are they now in fine cast as well?
They're fine cast now.
But I think there's so much they could do. They should really delve into the Vespids and give them more options and bring them up to date with some new plastic kits.
Well, that's it. They could bring out a plastic kit that has 2 different builds of Vespid, couldn't they?
Yeah, they could. Yeah. And the weapons were really good. They were just stupidly short range.
Yeah.
So they like died straight after.
I'd like to see them get like the Kroot treatment. Joe, the Kroot have got your Shapers, you've got your Kroot Warriors, you've got your Kroot Hounds, your Kroot Ox. I'd like to see some like different Vespid type units, like you know, some Beast of Burden and things like that.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. Some kind of maybe some Vespid, I say vehicles, but like giant pterodactyly things.
Yeah, or maybe a Wardroff Beetle.
Yeah, something like that. It'd be really cool, though, wouldn't it? Like as a assault tank or something. But yeah, keep with the insect vibe.
Mm.
Awesome. So, what is your third choice, Jay?
My third choice. So, I when I started thinking about this topic, I created a list of about 30 different units. A lot of them were Eldar Aspect Warriors, Eldar units, Eldar characters, things like that. And I thought, no. I'm not gonna go there because I'd be there all day. So I'm sticking with a certain theme this week. My first choice is the Space Marine Terminators.
Ooh.
Now, okay, they're not that old models, and there has been some revisions to them recently. The Chaos Terminator has had some new models. Is it the Heroes, Space Marine Heroes?
Mm.
There's been some new plastic Terminator models there that have been pretty cool. We had the, is it the anniversary model or the special model, the Terminator?
The librarian. It was the event exclusive one that, because events aren't on this year, was a special order, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's it.
Couple of weeks.
So they are still making Terminator armor, which is contrary to the lore, I believe, because I'm sure they can't make Terminator armor anymore. But I don't know. I would like to see them reimagined. So Nick Baton from Warhammer community, he converted some up recently and put them on Twitter from the Aggressors, was it? It's like an Aggressor Terminator.
Yeah, really, really nice conversion. Part Aggressor, part Terminator. I don't know what profile he uses them as, but they look amazing.
They do look good. I would like to see, you know, a proper reimagined Primaris scale Terminator model come out. You know, I'm quite confident we'll see something like that in the future. I mean, the Terminators are iconic, though, aren't they? That's the thing. Do you really want to change an icon too much? I don't know.
In the same way that a Tactical Marine's iconic, but they've done that with the Primaris Marines.
Very true.
Awesome. That's really cool. I've got a feeling we'll see Primaris Terminators down the line. Loads of people would love that. They'd fly off the shelves, wouldn't they?
Yeah,
they would.
Teleport off the shelves.
Well, my third choice, they're a little bit smaller, but, you know, no less aggressive and efficient in combat, and it is the Humble Catechin Infantry. So we've seen loads of cool Catechin stuff. We've got all the new characters. We've got the really cool Catechin Command Kit and Heavy Weapon Squad. But the poor infantry sets, oh, dearie me. There was a moment while I was socially distancing in Dave's garden the other day, having a look through the Game Structure website at potential candidates for a Crusade force. And I was like, oh, I'd really like to do a Catechin force because it'd be really, really cool. But I couldn't pull the trigger on those grotesque Catechin infantry.
They must be one of the oldest.
They are. Yeah, they really are. And some of them look like they're gurning. They were really good at the time, but it's a really, really old kit now. I'm surprised they didn't redo that frame when they did the command frame, because they're night and day, aren't they?
Well, I mean, when you think about it, Catechin's still got a planet, so, you know, they might get the next Imperial Guard plastic treatment over Cadia, for example.
Well, this is it, and we've seen all these recent characters, so I hope we get these, because I would be all over a Catechin force with Valkyries flying overhead, and yeah, it would be really cool. So, yeah, Dave, what's your second choice?
I'm going to keep this Imperial Guard theme going, actually.
Oh, yeah.
And I would like to see, because I've always had this itch that I wanted to start an Imperial Guard army, but I can't bring myself to build and paint loads of the old guardsmen. So I would like to see the Cadians, or at least a new armoured Imperial Guard army, get revised. And I would like it to take inspiration from the Palantine Enforcers. So basically what matters is an Arbites army. But yeah, I think I really like the Guardsman kit to be updated. I'd be quite happy, to be honest, if your choice happened first, Matt, and we got new Catechins, because at least we're getting new Guard. But I've always been a bit more of a fan of the flak armor, the very military looking Cadians. So I would like to get them revised.
And I think there's more Cadian themed kits really than Catechin themed kits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, awesome. Cool. What about your number two choice, Jay?
My new number two choice is, to be honest, I thought we would have seen this guy by now, but we haven't. However, there has been a lot of similar characters that have crossed the Rubicon and become primarisized. And it is Dante, Chapter Master of the Blood Angels.
Yeah.
That is an old model, but it's such a cool model. It's just so small compared to, say, the new Mephiston.
It's an iconic model as well, that one, isn't it? They could give it the Fabius Bow treatment and just, you know, up his scale a little bit, but keep the same like aesthetic going.
They could give him the same treatment as Mephiston. You know, Mephiston, yeah, Fabius Bow. They're two models that really, really, they still look like the originals. They haven't really lost much, but they've just been modernized, yeah. So Dante, I have high hopes for Dante in 9th edition, to be fair, in the lore with him. He's been named, is it the regent of the other side of the rift, or
yes,
like commander of the Dark Imperium or whatever it is on that side of the rift. So he needs a new model.
Well, I think there's good signs for a Blood Angels Codex as well. Obviously, in all the preview stuff, they've mentioned some of the Crusade mechanics out of the Blood Angels book, so it can't be too far off, can it?
No. I mean, Assault Intercessors just scream Blood Angels, don't they? So.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, my number two choice is the Avatar of Kane. So, the Avatar is such an old model now. Oh, it must be early 90s, maybe?
Yeah. He's so small.
Yeah, he's a heavy model, though. Is he still metal? Is he fine cast now?
He's probably fine cast these days.
Yeah. Forge World did a sort of a newer version, didn't they, Forge World?
They did, and it's a really nice model. And in the same way that the new Greater Demons have taken inspiration from the Forge World Greater Demons, and I think some of them are actually taller than them, I could see a plastic Avatar coming out that, again, uses some of the stylings of the resin one, but gives an awesome new plastic kit, maybe with a named character option for your avatar.
Yeah, maybe with some Aspect Warrior Honor Guards.
Yeah. So yeah, I think that'd be really, really cool. So we're round to our number one choices. Dave, what is yours?
Right. So we've got, for the orcs, we've got a brand new Gazgul. He's massive. He's insanely good. We've got all these marines across the Rubicon. What else have we got? We've got the Necrons have got the Illumino coming out. So really, the Swarm Lord for the Tyranids needs to get made into a brand new, bigger model. Because at the moment, he's the same size as a Hive Tyrant, but he's like the Tyranids' big main character in that book. He needs a model that looks terrifying and huge and scary, and I just want a new Swarm Lord, basically.
Uh-huh. Well, it's not unheard of. You know, we've got Scarbrand as his own box.
Mm.
So, yeah, you know, the Swarm Lord is meant to be a bigger, scarier Hive Tyrant, isn't he?
And what they could do is they don't have to change anything in the Hive Tyrant box, because they could just give a Hive Tyrant the option to take 4 Bone Swords.
Yeah.
So then that could just be a normal generic Hive Tyrant, but then you've got your new Swarm Lord kit, who's just massive and frightening, and yeah, that's what I'm hoping for.
Who could perhaps be also built as a Hive Tyrant Alpha or something, a new kind of creature.
Yeah. Something like on a knight size sort of creature. Yeah, that would be ace. You've got like the Silent King, you've got the Demon Primarchs, you've got knights. It would be cool for Nids to have something to rival that.
Big gribbly monster would be ace as well.
Yeah, you've got like
the kaiju battles of our dreams.
Yeah. Oh man, how cool would that be?
What are Riptide versus
big Imperial Knight.
Yeah.
See, at the moment, I think a Swarm Lord can go toe to toe with an Imperial Knight, but it just doesn't look epic because it's
you're
so
right.
Small.
He does go. He goes like head to toe, really.
He bites his knees.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, what's your number one choice, Jay?
My number one choice. So I have been painting a lot of blue models these last couple of weeks. I am really excited to get my Ultramarines on the table fighting a crusade. And I would love to have a particular model lead them. He's sort of disappeared a bit from the background now, but I've always liked him. So I'm painting my Ultramarines up as the second company. And the captain of the second company used to be a chap called Cato Sicarius.
Yes, Sicarius.
Yeah, he's had a couple of models. He's had models with 2 lightning claws, I believe, which I wasn't a massive fan of. Then he had the absolutely brilliant model where he was sort of just standing, sort of snarling and looking in disdain in front of him with the, is it the Sword of Talasar? I'm sure it was the Sword of Talasar. It was a really, really cool power sword that he had anyway.
He had his helmet in his hand.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. I'd love to see him get the Primaris treatment leading some Blade veterans.
Yeah, that'd be really cool, wouldn't it?
As
we've got Marnius Kalgar. I think there's room for more Ultramarine heroes, isn't there?
Yeah, we've got Marnius Kalgar. We have the Chief Librarian. They've both been Primarisized. There are quite a few Ultramarine characters, to be fair. You've got Chaplain Cassius. And who was the other guy? The Scout. Ted he's with a T, can't recall now, but there was a scout character, and also of course Kronos, the tank commander.
Yeah.
Huh. Awesome.
Cassius is now in the Death Watch, isn't he?
He was seconded to the Death Watch, wasn't he, at one point, because he came out in that box set, but he's still an Ultramarine, Dave.
He's an Ultramarine at heart. Awesome. But yeah, I think a lot of these old characters we'll see in probably battle boxes seem to be a good place to throw in these single frame character sprues, aren't they?
Yeah.
Awesome. Cool. Well, my number one choice, I've not mentioned any Chaos units, so I feel a bit bad. So I had to make it up with my number one choice. And as a devout follower of the Blood God, the 40k Khorne presence hasn't been quite as good as it has been in Age of Sigmar. We have got some really, really, really old Khorne berserkers. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine what they could do with them now?
They'd be bonkers good.
I mean, you look at the Assault Intercessors and how good they look, the dynamic poses of those guys, and then just imagine what a Khorne berserker is going to look like.
It'd be so cool. I mean, we've got that recently, I think it was Gathering Storm time-ish, Khan the Betrayer came out.
Yeah.
And, you know, hopefully his dad comes out at some point as well, because that'd be really cool. But, yeah, I think new Khorne Berserkers would look so cool, and I can see people doing some crazy assault Space Marine armies. Be ace.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean... Angron and a Khorne Berserker release, that you could see that quite likely happening, couldn't you?
Yeah.
You know, it's not outside the realms possibility that.
When they've got fed up of all these psychic shenanigans and they just want to punch people in the face.
Yeah. That's it. That is the Khorne way.
Excellent. Well, that brings us to the end of our choices. But we've got a few community picks to read out, just a few. So we're going to take a pause and come back with those. Matt has his data site at the ready with our Twitter comments. So, Matt, do you want to read some out for us?
Yes, we've had loads, near 100 comments. So I'll rattle through as many as I can. So I do apologise if I don't shout yours out this week. Fabius Fulgrim, it says Chaos Bikes. Yeah, they definitely need to be redone in line with the Primaris ones. Lucius and Noise Marines. I would love to see some Noise Marines. Again, if Fulgrim comes back, I can see us getting a plastic Noise Marine kit. Mm. Pete Allison, Praetorian Guard. If you want to do Imperial Guard, you go with the guys who look like they belong in the film Zulu. that's the way to go. Noise Marines and Space Wolves, Wolf Lord. Jem Duduku says Grey Knights need some love. Imagine some Primaris scale Grey Knight stuff. That'd be really cool.
Yeah.
He also says Imperial Guard variants and new Tau battle suits. What about one with a big shield and a big shoulder gun? That'd be cool. Garthy says Primaris Terminators, Aspect Warriors, and Tyranid Gaunts. The Nude Painter, Centurions, Wolfen, and the Impulsor. Okay. Mousebait, Orc Boys, Orc Bikers, and Orc Boys. Sombermine, Primaris Terminators, Deathwing Knights, and Ravenwing Black Knights. David Metcalf, Thunderfire Cannon, Primaris Tech Marine, and Primaris Vindicator / Predator / Whirlwind. I think a new light tank for the Primaris would be good, wouldn't it?
It would.
Martin, Primaris Terminators, Catechin Guardsman and Guardswoman, and more Redemptor Pattern Dreadnoughts. Papa Andy, Primaris Terminators that feel like Terminators. Combat Jump Packs with more than a Chainsword Primaris, and a Gravis Primaris Terminator Lieutenant. Okay. Mm. Rom says Dante, Heretic Wargaming says the Ravenwing, Devastators, and the out-of-date Chapter Masters. Battlebrush Studios says a Primaris Lieutenant with Power Sword standing like this, a Primaris Lieutenant with a Power Sword standing a bit more like this, and a Primaris Lieutenant pointing with Power Sword in the other hand. Okay. Simon says Khorne Berserkers and Striking Scorpions. Lord Andrew Dennett, Vect, of course. I didn't even think of Vect. That's an obvious choice.
Oh, Vect, yeah.
Tushaun, the Salamander's Chapter Master, as a Primaris. Okay. And the other aspect, the Eldar Exarchs. Lancer Chris says Catechin Infantry, Cadian Infantry, and Space Marine Scouts. Rob Hawkins, Terminators upgrades to Primaris Scales. Lupiums says one multi-option plastic HQ for all factions. boys. If the head
I thought he meant then like one kit that can build a HQ for any faction.
I mean, that's a pretty good kit.
That's why I laughed,
isn't it?
He means 16 kits.
He means 16 kits. Yeah. New Orc boys with the stylings of the orcs from the buggy kits. Yeah, I mean, the orc range has been massively improved by those orc vehicles, but I think the infantry are maybe a little bit dated now, and a Primaris Predator. Luca says the Eldar Avatar, the Eldar Warlocks, and the Aspect Warriors. And yeah, Gondas wants new attack bikes. Marines with sidecars are cool. Yes, they are. New Chaos Cultist kit. We technically haven't even got a Chaos Cultist kit. It was in the one of the old starter boxes, wasn't it? And Catechins have to feature. They're so long overdue. There's loads of other comments. I can't rattle through them all. I do apologise on that. But yeah, we've had some really good shout-outs there.
I just had inspiration off one of them. What they could do is they could retire the current Catechin range, like you say, to replace it with some updated models, and move it into the Orc section, and people can use them as new Orc boys. Because
this is similar. True, yeah.
They do pay for both factions.
Excellent. You mentioned about the Orcs. I would like to see new plastic, like tank busters. And they look really cool because I think they're fine cast. Oh, and the commandos as well. I always like those.
I think commandos and tank busters are the only resin models left in the range. I think everything else is plastic now.
Yeah. Cool. So what's next week's top three, Matt?
So next week, we're delving into the Black Library, and we want to know your top three characters from Black Library books.
Excellent. Fantastic. You can get your choices in early by heading over to our social media channels at Sprues and Brews on facebook.com/Sprues and Brews. And do remember to check out our YouTube channel as well, because we've had quite a few unboxing videos up there this week. And we've got a few more video content lined up for next week as well. So it's well worth checking that out. But I think, guys, that brings us to the end of podcast 90.
90, 10 to go.
10 to go. So looking forward to the big 100. Until next week, have a fantastic week of painting and modeling, maybe not gaming, and we'll speak to you all again next week. Bye.
See you later. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Sprues and Brews podcast. If you like what you've been listening to, please do give us a share and a comment if you're listening via Apple Podcasts. For further content, please check out spruesandbrews.com, and you can contact us on Twitter @spruesandbrews or over on Facebook, facebook.com/spruesandbrews.